So we'll get started. Thanks to the organizers to have me to speak today. It's a pleasure to be here. So today I'm going to be talking about observability of fuzzballs, as David sort of talked about microstates earlier. So I want to talk about observability of fuzzballs, or something called firewalls. And I'm just going to get straight into it. So of course, familiar to us in this room, is that classically, general relativity says that the horizon should be smooth, so an observer that's falling through, it should just be vacuum, so they should move smoothly through the horizon. And if you apply a QFT in curved space, Hawking showed, of course, that black holes radiate, and for Schwarzschild black holes, the temperature is 1 over 8 pi m. But this radiation is sort of stretched to infinity. So an infalling observer crossing the horizon is not actually seeing the radiation. But in this case, we get a monotonic increase of entropy, as David had already said. You get a rising in entanglement entropy. And so there was an argument put forth by AMPS, in short, Amari, Maroff, Porchinsky, and Sully, and they look at a modified view of this horizon here. And it's based on two postulates. One is that the information is radiated away the same way as any other black body, and so there's no monotonic increase in entropy. So that's the first thing. The second thing, to do this, they considered a surface located at the stretched horizon. They don't tell you how to make the surface, but they just say that if we put a surface here that radiates like a piece of coal, they put it at one plank length outside the horizon. And then they say that physics outside of the stretched horizon can be modeled by low energy effective field theory. So you should be able to just use normal physics outside of the stretched horizon. So if a shell is approaching the stretched horizon at the speed of light, then the stretched horizon cannot respond to the shell until it reaches the stretched horizon. And they concluded that this infalling particle should see a firewall of radiation due to the blue shift as you approach the horizon. Well, there seems to be an issue here. Postulates 1 and 2 are in conflict. So why? So let's just consider a black hole of mass M. So using 2, anything outside of the stretched horizon should behave according to normal physics, okay? So let's consider collapsing a shell of massless particles of delta M, right? So it should collapse all the way down to R equal to the stretched horizon unhindered. But wait a minute, there's going to be a new horizon forming at some point due to this delta M. But by 2, this must pass without problem through this region. But now, the information is now trapped in its own horizon, so it can't get out. So it actually violates that you should be able to use low energy effective field theory to recover the information. And because you have to violate causality to now get the information out, maybe through some type of non-local effect. So therefore, the energy cannot be radiated away from the surface in violation of postulate 1. And here, just to illustrate this back reaction, now let's just consider a particle of energy E. It approaches the horizon. At some point, it's going to get caught in its own horizon. The horizon is going to expand out, and it's going to trap the particle, okay? And using basic thermodynamic arguments with black holes, you can calculate this sort of how far it expands out. And this is defined by something we call S bubble, because it makes like a half bubble that comes out and reaches and traps the particle. And S bubble is given by this formula here. It's just the energy of the particle at infinity divided by the temperature at infinity to the 1/2 times the Planck length. And of course, the temperature is proportional to 1 over the mass. So given this fact, we propose a modified firewall conjecture. So consider a particle of energy E falling towards a black hole of mass M. At a certain distance, S bubble, the particle should be swallowed up, as I've shown in the previous slide. But we say that quantum gravitational effects must arise at or before this region. And David talked a little bit about this tunneling. And so for this conjecture, we use a fuzzball. We say that there's a fuzzball. And we say that we get tunneling into new fuzzball states right at the time it begins to reach S bubble.
Can you explain what you mean before reaching S bubble?
So,
what reaches S bubble?
The particle. The particle is approaching, and at some point it's going to get trapped by its own horizon. It's the new horizon that's made by the original black hole plus its own mass. Yeah. So we say that the fuzzball radiates like a piece of coal. So what we want to do is look for interactions in the region of S greater than S bubble. And here, this is proper distance. So what we say is that if the probability of interaction is order one, then we say that the particle sees a modified firewall. But if it's much, much less than one, then we have no firewall. So in the fuzzball paradigm, the horizon is placed by an object, which we call a fuzzball. As I've said, it radiates like a piece of coal. And so it's unitary. So we want to know, can observations distinguish a traditional hole from a fuzzball? So what are some of the things that we maybe can see in this modified picture? Does it interact with the emerging radiation? Can it emerge from reflecting off this radiation? Or can it emerge from reflecting off the surface? So this is what we use here. We say we are just considering an astrophysical hole. So we look at just a Schwarzschild solution. And we say that outside of this surface, that the metric is Schwarzschild. While this hasn't been explicitly constructed, we're saying that we have a fuzzball, and we're saying that the region outside is a Schwarzschild region. And so there is a fuzzball boundary at the horizon plus epsilon. And this epsilon corresponds to a proper distance of a Planck length. So what we want to do is perform scattering of particles in something we call the near horizon region. So close to where the horizon would be, we want to perform scattering. And so we take R minus RH to be much less, much, much less than RH itself. So we're looking at really close to the surface. And this corresponds to also a proper distance of this here. So how do we do this? Well, we can always take a local orthonormal frame where it looks locally Minkowski space. And now we can just apply standard quantum field theory scattering cross-sections and scattering events. So of course, like I said, we want to look for S greater than S bubble. We want to see if there's a probability of order one of a particle to interact before it reaches this S bubble, because once it reaches the S bubble, then it's just going to, we say that it tunnels to a new fuzzball, and so it's not going to interact. Okay, so what did we look at? Well, we looked at one of the simplest processes, electron photon scattering, or Compton scattering. So imagine that we have an electron of energy E at infinity, no angular momentum, we just allow it to go straight in. Because the fuzzball is radiating, the particle is now going to see a bath of radiation as it's approaching the surface. And we say that there's a thermal distribution. So, and it's in thermal equilibrium too. We say that it's also in thermal equilibrium because actually if you look at the geodesic motion of particles coming out, only those that are near radial can actually escape. So what's going to happen is particles that come out non-radial are going to end up coming falling back in, but then particles are coming out at that point as well. So we say that there's this thermal equilibrium in this region. And the local temperature is given by 1 over the proper distance. So what did we find? We actually found, so here's a plot of the interaction probability of an infalling electron with a thermal bath. And it doesn't get anywhere close to 1. As we can see here, at S bubble, it's about 1, it's about 10 to the minus 19. And even when it goes all the way to the surface of the fuzzball, which is at 1 Planck length, it still never reaches 1. So and this is for a solar mass black hole, for astrophysical black holes that we're interested in. So we conclude that the particle doesn't actually see a firewall. And we also considered a low energy photon that started at infinity. And so we just say, okay, the photon energy is of order the temperature at infinity. And it turns out that the local photon energy would be of order of the local temperature. Okay? And so we allow it to scatter with a bath of positrons and electrons. But we allow it to propagate to a point just when the thermal bath has enough energy to make positrons and electrons. And we actually find, at this point, we find that the interaction probability is much higher than before, but it's still proportional to alpha squared, which alpha is the electromagnetic coupling constant, 1 over 137. So that's still a probability of 10 to the minus 4. So, okay, that's significantly higher than before. So let's look at the emergence probability. So the emergence probability, we had to calculate what angle, if something were to backscatter, what sort of region could it scatter in? And so the closer that you actually get to the black hole, the angular region does this. It gets thinner and thinner and thinner. And so the backscattering probability is then the probability of interaction times the probability of emergence. And that is much, much less than 1. It's really, really small. And again, this is for a solar mass black hole. Okay, if you remember the equation for S bubble, it's E over T. So if E is order T, then S bubble is going to be at the location of the fuzzball, so it doesn't really make sense to talk about it coming out anymore. So then we could say, okay, what about this mode reflecting off of the fuzzball itself? Well, this is also much, much less than 1. And so if we have a fuzzball there, we're not really going to see anything. It's going to be really hard to see something for astrophysical black holes. And so just to recapitulate, we presented the firewall argument. We showed that it could be violated, so we proposed a modified firewall argument. And we indeed found that in all the regimes that we looked at, that either the interaction probability or the emergence probability, these all are very, very small, much, much less than 1. And so we conclude that it's going to be really hard to see something in this picture. And that's all I have. I'd like to thank my advisor, Samir, and Ben, who worked really hard, also another grad student. I'd like to thank Hong Zhang, Stuart Robbie, Nayesh, and Victor for also conversations. And I would like to thank you all for listening to my talk, and that's all I have.
To what extent does this small reflection probability that you find, to what extent does it depend on the fact that the electron charge to mass ratio is 10 to the 20? Here you're using, then when you're getting your numbers, you're putting numbers for actual electron size.
Yes.
So if instead of electrons you have things that interact gravitationally,
we still don't expect to get anything. Actually,
what I'm saying is that in this case, you have a very small number, 10 to the minus 20, which may not be generic for scattering other particles or additional particles in particular. I mean, you're considering electromagnetic scattering.
Right.
Gravitational scattering may be different because of this.
I think we also looked at gravitons too, and we still find that the interaction probability is still really small, actually.
I thought this was about the landing. I mean, isn't this about the escape probability?
Yes, the escape probability, but I don't know whether this.
No, because the opening angle.
Yes.
It's more the LP over the Schwarzschild.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you're outside this, forget it. So I don't think it's about the scattering. I don't think it's about the mass.
I mean, if all the effect comes from this fact that you have to emit radially, then this is generic.
Right. I would expect that, no?
But I don't know whether this other number.
So, actually, I was a little confused about what you were doing. So, the bath that you're scattering off of, either electron positrons or photons, that's something you put in, or that's supposed to be sort of the natural bath of the Hawking radiation or whatever.
Well,
it wasn't clear on just.
So the in the modification of the horizon, we've placed something now that radiates.
Yeah, okay. But something that is ultimately going to be radiating just like the Hawking radiation.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you sort of put in a thermal bath that with the right parameters to match something Hawking like, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In GR, the horizon is the boundary of the past, the future, null infinity. That is, it's an acausal.
Uh-huh.
Description, but your discussion here is very much three plus in three dimensions at one time. So we don't know where the horizon is. There might be one right here, right, depending on what happens to us in the future. So are you maybe dealing with the so-called apparent horizon, where the null congruences, no longer grasp? I don't quite understand what how the picture is reconciled with the four-dimensional nature of the horizon.
Can I add something to this? If it's not the event horizon, it's the apparent horizon. The event horizon goes out to mid
November. That's all you have to say. Okay. I understand what you're doing now. It's the apparent horizon.
Yes. But if it's the apparent horizon, the event horizon goes out to meet the particle that's important. But the apparent horizon behaves in the opposite way.
Right.
It recedes. So you would get the S bubble in the
I think I found like an excellent question for this session.
Yes, any further question?
Was the answer, it is the event horizon?
Oh, I thought you said the answer.
Right. Because there's
you
a
weren't
hole going outward, right?
So, well, I think there is no good answer to that.
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's thank